The principles of the gospel are eternal. Elder Franklin D. Richards, Franklin D. Richards, Conference Report, April 1966, pages 140-142. My dear brothers and sisters, I rejoice in being with you this beautiful day in this peaceful and inspirational environment, knowing that throughout the world there is generally a lack of peace and men's hearts are failing them. World needs knowledge that God lives. The great need in the world today is a knowledge that God lives and that He governs the affairs of this world, that we are His spirit children, and that He is vitally interested in our welfare. I am grateful for the knowledge I have that God lives and that Jesus is our Savior and Redeemer. I am thankful for my testimony that Joseph Smith is a prophet of God, the instrument through which the gospel was restored to earth. We are blessed beyond measure by having a great prophet who stands at the head of the Church of Jesus Christ at this time, our beloved David O. McKay. May the Lord bless and sustain him. Peace will replace fear in men's hearts when they listen to the counsel of God's prophet and accept and follow the principles of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel principles eternal. One of the wonderful things about the gospel is that its principles are eternal and unchanging. It is, therefore, true that as we live in accordance with these principles, we are assured results consistent with our compliance. The Lord made this clear when He instructed us through the prophet Joseph Smith that all who will have a blessing at my hands shall abide the law which was appointed for that blessing. Regarding this matter, Elder John A. Wood so said, "The great governing principles of truth are unchanging, but the conditions brought about by human activity are forever changing. We span changes that in the past seemed impossible, and undoubtedly the future holds developments that today are equally inconceivable. Such changes affect human thinking. New social and economic problems arise. Even the spiritual outlook is invaded. Then, it becomes the duty of the prophet to teach how the eternal laws of the gospel may be applied amidst constant change, for the benefit and blessing of humanity. With the rapid changes that are taking place today in every phase of our lives, it is very important that we recognize the eternal nature of principles of truth. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the first great eternal principle of the gospel and is indeed a very vital factor in our lives. Time it is one of the most interesting and inspiring principles to contemplate. I would like to consider with you the principle of faith, together with its corollaries work and progress. In consideration of this great principle we should recognize that it does not promise something for nothing. The Apostle James asked the question, "Faith the principle of action, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." The prophet Joseph, in speaking on this subject, said, "Let us here observe, that a religion that does not require the sacrifice of all things never has power sufficient to produce the faith necessary unto life and salvation, and it is through the medium of the sacrifice of all earthly things that men do actually know, that they are doing the things that are well-pleasing in the sight of God, and as faith is the moving cause of all action in temporal concerns, so it is in spiritual." Frequently we refer to the gospel of Jesus Christ as the gospel of work, and the prophet Joseph stated in his lectures on faith that this means mental as well as physical effort. Plans are carefully developed before important projects are commenced. All worthwhile endeavors require mental exertion, making decisions or the making up of one's mind before physical exertion comes into play. We should realize that as we develop faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is possible and natural for us to develop faith in ourselves. And recognizing the great importance of faith in our lives, we see the great need of continually building our faith. Among other things, the building of faith involves a prayerful study of eternal gospel principles and the obtaining of a testimony that God lives and that Jesus is the Christ. The process also involves making up one's mind to live the gospel and serve his fellow man through the sacrifice of earthly things. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints offers great opportunities for the building of faith. Faith, being the moving cause of all action in temporal as well as spiritual concerns, is evidenced by an affirmative attitude together with a well-developed plan of action. Nephi of old, when required to go back to Jerusalem to get the record of his forefathers, possessed a strong affirmative attitude, the evidence of a great faith, when he said, "I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them that they may accomplish the thing which he commandeth them." On one occasion at a district conference, I was interviewing a man for ordination to the office of elder. He was having some difficulty with the word of wisdom. I asked him what his attitude was, and he replied that there was nothing in the world that he would rather do than stop smoking. I told him that all he had to do was to make up his mind never to have another cigarette, and that when he did that, 90% of his problem would be solved. I would then tell him what the other 10% was. I asked him to make up his mind immediately, look me in the eye, shake my hand firmly, and tell me that he would never have another cigarette. I extended my hand to him and asked him if he were ready. He hesitated a moment and said, no, that he was afraid that if he promised he would not smoke and then later did so, his conscience would hurt him. Under these circumstances I could not approve his ordination and so told him, since I felt there would be many things that he would not do that an elder should do. He left considerably disturbed. Later in the day he asked to speak to me again. As he sat down his face lighted up. He said that he had made up his mind to stop smoking and that he had never experienced such a wonderful feeling in his whole life. He felt as though a 50-pound weight had been lifted from his shoulders. He then asked me what the other 10% was. I told him that if he had any cigarettes on him or at home, he should get rid of them immediately so they would not be a temptation. I also suggested that he discontinue going out with his smoking friends on his breaks. These and other things that he could do to strengthen himself constituted the other 10%. Then, with prayer and fasting by himself and with his family, he could be assured that the Lord would make him equal to the task of overcoming the smoking habit. This incident occurred some 6 years ago. He has never smoked since and is now an honored and respected bishop. Thus, through his affirmative attitude and works, he manifested his faith, and with the help of the Lord, he achieved his goal. Faith, the cause, works, the effect. Effective faith is always connected with works, and it is only through this combination that we achieve. This is indeed the key to success, happiness, and growth. Keeping in mind that faith is a gift of God, some of the blessings that come from obedience to the great principle of faith are, a desire to achieve worthwhile objectives, an affirmative attitude with the capacity to really make up one's mind, confidence and power that make the difficult or seemingly hopeless possible of attainment, loyalty and steadfastness in service to our fellow men, and finally, peace, happiness, and growth resulting from achievement of worthwhile objectives. It was necessary for each of us as spirits to leave the spirit world and come to this earth and learn to walk by faith, that the purposes of this life might be accomplished. As we enter into each activity of life, both spiritual and temporal, let us apply these great fundamental and eternal principles of faith and works. By so doing we can be assured like Nephi of old that the Lord will prepare a way for us to do the things we are assigned to do. Our hearts will not fail us, we will achieve our righteous objectives, and we will have peace that surpasseth all understanding. I bear this testimony to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.